The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Welcome to another program with Truths to Live By, a ministry of Harriman Baptist Tabernacle in Harriman, Tennessee. You're listening to Brother Benjamin Cooley. I pray we would be a blessing to you today.
Christ has saved us from our sins. Our lives are now in God. We desire the Holy Word to order where we trod. All for Christ, yet anything for self we count as dross. We're pilgrims with a crown view of the cross. Pilgrims with the crown view of the cross. This our anthem now we raise. Pilgrims with the crown view.
With our Bibles open today to the book of Leviticus, chapter number 1, we continue with our book-by-book survey through the Old Testament, but first a word of prayer, and then we'll begin reading the Scriptures together. Father, I come now in Jesus' name, thanking You for this day, thanking You for this time, and Lord, for the privilege of prayer. I pray now that Your hand would rest upon me, and You would open the hearts, and give ears to hear. For all those who listen to this radio broadcast, thank You for the truth of Thy Word, Lord, inspired, infallible, inerrant, Lord, written down, preserved for us today in our beloved King James Bible for the English-speaking world. I ask for Your presence and power. Manifest Yourself to those who listen. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And so we're beginning in Leviticus chapter 1 today, looking at the book of holiness. But first, look up on your page there to Exodus 40 and verse 38. And the Bible says, "For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys." And we have just recently concluded the book of Exodus, that book of redemption. Exodus closed out with the glory of God filling the tabernacle. That was in verse 34. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Israel had a place to worship. God redeemed His people, instructed them in the way they ought to go, and now we have come to Leviticus. This is a book which gives much more detail to the worship of God, to the daily lives of Israel, and shows how it would all center around the service and the sacrifices of the tabernacle. Leviticus is the book of holiness. The word Leviticus means the book of the Levites, or the priests, obviously coming from that word, which is that name, Levi, the name of the priestly tribe of Israel. Leviticus is a continuation of the law of Moses. Look to chapter number 1 and verses 1 and 2. And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd, and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And so God is speaking out of the tabernacle unto Moses. The words given here are directly spoken by the Lord, who was dwelling within the Holy of Holies and above the mercy seat. We find that if you want to flip over to the book of Numbers, chapter 7 and verse 89. And when Moses was gone into the tabernacle of the congregation to speak with him, then he heard the voice of one speaking unto him from off the mercy seat that was upon the ark of testimony from between the two cherubims, and he spake unto him. Therefore God gave this dictation to Moses during that encampment period of Israel at Mount Sinai. We won't turn there now, but you can find that in Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 1. In fact, all that is recorded from Leviticus and the first 10 chapters of Numbers take place between the first day of the first month and the 20th day of the second month in the year following, or this is the second year of the Exodus from Egypt. Compare with Exodus 40 verse 2, Numbers chapter 10 verse 11. And Exodus, the way out of bondage, is shown and made possible through redemption by both blood and power. In Leviticus, the way in to the sanctuary of God is shown, and it is again by the blood. Let me give you a brief review, borrowing these words from G. Harding Wood, concerning the Pentateuch. He says in Genesis, man is ruined by sin. In Exodus, man is redeemed by God. In Leviticus, man is restored to communion with God. In Numbers, man is ready for the journey to Canaan. In Deuteronomy, man is reminded by God. But here's where I want you to see. Leviticus stands strikingly between Exodus, where the perfect law is given to be learned, and Numbers, where the pilgrim life begins to be lived. Leviticus is the book of all the 66 in the Bible, which teaches us the secrets of access to and communion with God. For this reason alone, it should be deeply studied by every young Christian. In your Bible, do the pages of Leviticus show signs of such study? There are two key words in the book of Leviticus which give forth its thrust. The first of these is atonement, found at least 49 times. The ground of man's atonement before the Lord is the blood, and Leviticus teems with sacrifices and offerings. The second key word is holy, which is written at least 94 times. God's demand for his worshipers includes that of cleansing. Hence the book teems with washings. Leviticus describes the priestly offerings, Leviticus chapters 1 through 9, the dietary rules, chapter 11, and other rituals of the law of Moses, including the five offerings, the seven feasts of the Lord for Israel, chapter 23, and the most solemn day of the Hebrew calendar, the Day of Atonement, Leviticus chapter 16. In the beginning, back in Genesis 3, God demanded a sacrifice when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. Now God would organize the sacrifices and give Israel a systematic way of approaching the true and living God who is thrice holy. This entire book then gives forth divine instructions which detail the way to approach God in worship and walk with Him in fellowship. Now we recognize its placement in the Scriptures, in the Old Testament, and we're not following the dietary laws, we're not following the rituals, the rules of the sacrificial system, the service and sacrifices of the tabernacle, but in the New Testament we can find the doctrines of our New Testament typified, showing that Christ is the substance, and the law and the sacrifices and all of these things were shadows and types for the one who is to come. The holiness of God is affirmed over and over and over in Leviticus, and God's people are expected to be holy, for God Himself is holy. We find this in Leviticus 14, verses 44 through 47. And then in our New Testament, we find Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, as he quotes Leviticus, and he states these words, "Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy." And so holiness is not just an Old Testament concept that was given alone to the nation of Israel. Holiness is for all of God's people, and we, brethren, are to be a uniquely separated people by God, for God, and unto the Lord, separated unto God, away from the world. I believe Leviticus as a whole book can be summarized in one verse, chapter 19 and verse 2. "Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." God would have his people to know the difference and to make the difference between that which is unclean and that which is clean. Leviticus details the practical provisions from the Lord for the holy living of his people, nationally speaking, in Israel, and they were to be a holy people in an unholy world. And this requirement of the Lord for his people, and this expectation for them to be holy, was thus revealed in Leviticus, repeated in 1 Peter 1, as we said already. And so, brethren, let us, who are the redeemed people of God, remember, recognize, and then follow this commandment to be holy, for the Lord our God is holy. Leviticus stands alongside our New Testament book of Hebrews, books that emphasize the blood. The songwriter had it right when he said, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Thank God he gave us the blood upon the altar to make atonement for the soul. Christ is the Lamb, the cross was the altar, and the blood upon the altar has made atonement for the souls of men, and the answer for the sins of men is in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption, through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We thank you for making this ministry a part of your day. And in closing, we want to point you to the words of our Lord in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. He answered and said, "It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And truly, it is written. God's word, every word, presents us with truths to live by. You've been listening to Brother Benjamin Cooley. Please send all correspondence to Truths to Live By, P.O. Box 575, Harriman, Tennessee, 37748. Or you can email us at bmarkcooley@gmail.com. And finally, brethren, pray for us.